Off the Ball, GAA.
Probably large aspects of our performance today that we'll have to tidy up on. Going into the semi-final, Kerry are obviously defending champions. They've found a run of form and vein of form themselves, and they're quite dominant.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
And before all that, we've got a full house to reflect on. Well, pretty amazing 24 hours. Colm, morning to you.
Hi, Tar.
Matt.
Sure.
When you found out your name was Matt, not Matthew, in the last 5 days.
Yeah, I heard that.
Do you know this?
Nah,
do you know he was a Matt?
No, see, this thing, because you've asked me this before. See, I was listening to How Are You, Enda?
Enda, all to her.
I call him Matt on Teams if I'm referring to him in the third person.
As but he's actually a Matt.
I'm not.
You signed Adrian's card, Matt. Did you? I think you did.
Maybe. It's just a busy week.
It's like the time I found out one of my closest friends was Dan, not Daniel. I was only ever introduced to him as Daniel.
Yeah.
And I still call him Daniel. Can't get used to it.
Yeah, no, most of my friends would call me Matt, but...
not us. We don't count. We're...
No,
we're
like you know, you can call him whatever you want. I don't really care.
Aww.
No, it doesn't actually make any difference to me. Like, I drift between both, you know?
And hey, listen, you shouldn't be judging. You've some nerve coming in here today. After what you did yesterday. After that, after calling the Netherlands to win the World Cup.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to.
Unbelievable you to come in here.
I know.
I did one of the first comments on the stream is asking, will I take back my rather harsh ranking of Japan yesterday? I put Japan into the poor section.
You did. You said they were rubbish. You said Paraguay were rubbish.
In fairness, I did say Paraguay were shite. They were in the bottom. They were on the bottom tier.
Paraguay aren't.
The Japan comment was purely based on what they had done at the tournament versus my expectations of what they were supposed to do. Last night we saw the best of Japan. They were a good side. Brazil were rather poor in the midfield, as has been pointed out on the show. But it was a good night. Good night's fun.
Just have a look at the penalties from the Morocco-Netherlands game here, and like such an array of unbelievable greatness to absolutely terribleness to bizarreness as well. Two of those probably aren't even words. Verbruggen, where he just comes back off his heel, is crazy. And then Weghorst steps up after and absolutely stitches it in the top corner. Yeah, and then the Germany-Paraguay penalties were a mixed bag as well.
A wide range of outcomes.
I love that shootout, the Germany-Paraguay one. Paraguay had a chance to win it twice before they eventually did in third time lucky. Paraguay number 23. What a gorgeous penalty. Wasn't quite a one-step, wouldn't say it was, but it was a beautiful crest.
To win it?
No, it was just in earlier the on. Standard penalty shootout penalty.
Voltomata's penalty
beautiful.
Was exactly what you would expect from Nick Voltomata.
I hadn't seen them until this morning, so I don't know who scored or who missed, and then it's as soon as Voltomata's worn up, this guy's missed, I'm sure. He's kind of telling the keeper where he's going to put it.
Havertz missed.
Yeah, I was saying, I have to remind myself, had he taken a Champions League final penalty, but he wasn't.
But he taken off.
Yeah.
Now, you say that about Voltomata, but he does that run-up.
Yeah, I know.
And
so he smashes it in.
He did have that incredible penalty against Forest, which he does the exact same run-up. And I think it was his first, goal, or at least his first penalty for Newcastle. And everyone thought, here we go. And then he smashes into the corner. You're like, okay. I wasn't familiar with your game.
It was just my heart would have told me, you know, this morning. Thought I was going to miss.
Wanted to give a shout out to the Paraguay goalkeeper, Orlando Gill. So this is from World Soccer magazine. One of the hardest publications to get your hand on in Ireland ahead of the World Cup.
Yeah, everybody's complaining it didn't exist except in the airport, W.H. Smith.
Yeah, it was just sold out.
Was it?
Everywhere.
Yeah, Gav Cooney was looking for one. And George Hamilton brought one down from
the north. Oh, really?
Yeah, he brought one down from the north.
He said he would. I don't know if he did.
Ah, right.
But he said he would, yeah. Jesus.
But the Paraguay goalkeeper, Orlando Gill, so this is his summation, and this would make you really root for him. So in 2018, Gill was playing amateur football, and even last year, he was a backup goalkeeper for San Lorenzo de Almagro.
San Lorenzo.
This summer, he is going to the World Cup. His career got off to a difficult start, but the goalkeeper has now seen his dream come true. And then they have quotes from his wife. Orlando sold some of his gear to cover costs, brackets, so that we could eat. Gil's wife said with tears in her eyes, and after he made his international debut at this historic World Cup. Then he said, she goes on to say, our son was fighting for his life and his father was always there for him. He was never trusted in domestic football back in Paraguay, hence the move to Argentina. He had a bit of luck, his move to San Lorenzo. They were trying to sign Keylor Navas, but ran into financial difficulty.
Right.
And that was what got him his move. And now he's their number one, and now he's representing Paraguay at this World Cup.
That's so amazing.
What's that? 8 years ago, he was playing amateur football. You're saying there's a chance.
There you go. There's a chance for everybody except Ringman Rangers.
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it? They're not going to play their FAI Cup game against Bulls out of fear that it will clash with the All-Ireland Hurling Final.
Which Cork have yet to qualify for.
Tune in Galway supporters there for that. Quite the move. Would have started at 2 o'clock. And I think the fear was that no one would go to the game, so they can't play it in Ringmahon's pitch. Well, I wouldn't say it's a stadium, it's a pitch, so they can't have it there. Turns Cross unavailable. I think they were looking at Colville's ground. The problem, officially worrying about attendances, but actually the players would be going to the hurling final if they make it. So they're not playing. Mass consternation.
Good source of tickets. Obviously, someone in the change room there has good connects.
Yeah.
So if you want tickets for Cork, just try and make it to the Ringman Rangers team.
Yeah, there is a statement officially from Ringman Rangers to explain their decision.
Nothing to do with the players going to the... They don't say that in the statement, right? Is it pure speculation?
Which part?
The players would be unavailable because they all want to go to the game.
I think they were saying that the issue with the game being played in Cove Stadium was that there would be a risk that people wouldn't turn up because of the hurling and because of the World Cup final being on as well. So that's, I think, what they say in the statement as far as the attendance being on the fan side of things as opposed to the attendance being on the player side of things.
Yeah.
And if nobody comes, what's the big deal?
Yeah, well, I suppose it would be that it wouldn't be financially beneficial
to pay for the rent.
I have to say I read it because I suppose it's open to whatever interpretation you want. You will listen to their explanation and read it, right? But I was like, they think they're going to lose anyway. Mm. They're not going to play.
Is this not the most Cork thing ever, though?
Are you
to decide? Firstly, decide that they're already in the All Ireland final.
Let's get a list of the most Cork things ever. That would be a good thing for us to nail down.
Also to decide that it's like, you're not going to move it for us. We won't bother. It's grand. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't paint the whole county from one club's decision, but yeah, it is a call from Ringman Rangers. In fairness, they didn't want to play. They're not going to play now. And whatever about it is the most Cork thing ever. It's a Cork thing if you do something and then someone says, is that the most Cork thing ever? Then they're definitely not going to do it.
Mm. Why would they not do it though? Like, is this not perfect banana skin territory?
I think the FAI gave them a deadline and the deadline passed. So that was a decision made really for them. Mm. Now, unless because of this story gathering such momentum of negativity that Ringmahon decides, we better actually try and do something about this and ask for special dispensation from the FAI. But I don't think Bowles are going to allow that now because Bowles are like, no, you forfeited the game. And sure, Bowles have a busy schedule. Can't move it, you see.
That was one of the, because Bowles' European draw, I think, was at the time when the deadline was coming. It was like, are Bowles going to be able to move this at all because of that European fixture? It's not a great look, though. All things considered.
Oh my God, it's really unbelievable.
It's really not a great look.
They're just down the road, actually. And you know the thing is, not that they'd have the game there. Beautiful pitch.
Oh yeah.
Is it?
They made a lot of extra money because of Kelleher's stellar season.
Yeah, they did. No, I know. Maybe that's why they're like, we can afford to forfeit.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Although maybe they could have afforded the loan of the hall.
No, it's terrible. It is you're right there. Like it's an awful look. It's kind of you're looking at it like it's kind of indefensible. And but they're not gonna change their mind now, I suppose, unless CFA can do something about this.
Why couldn't they play it at their pitch?
It's not fit for fans, really, because it's not actually a stadium. It's just a railing around the place. So I guess there's some sort of Champions League,
there is. My granddad was over as a chairman with Colester, Donnycarney there for quite a while, and they'd often draw a big team in the cup, and it would. So I think they actually drew Bowes last year.
They did. That's right. That was on. That was on TV.
Yeah, they switched the venue. They played it in
Talca.
They played it in Dalymount.
That's right.
They played in Dalymount. Yeah, I remember they had one good one. They played Galway, but they didn't. I think maybe Galway were in the second division or something, and they played the game in Haddon Park. I think it's called. It was Colester Stadium.
It's
a stadium. It's a pitch.
Actually, the brother of a former Team 33 alumnus Paul Moore. Kyle Moore played in that game because it was the Kyle Moore derby. He was playing for Colchester against his old club. So they interviewed him on TV afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Former Man City player. Maybe Stephen Ireland.
Is that right? Yeah.
There you go.
It does. Yeah. The FAI Cup does throw up some mad fixtures. I remember.
Yeah, I love them.
Good, probably about 8 or 9 years ago at this stage, a club I play for, Drumcondra AFC, were drawn against Drumcondra FC.
Oh, yeah.
Who are both claimants of the original Drumcondra FC.
Drums.
What are they? What are they shorthand called? Do you know?
The Drums.
But AFC versus FC.
So, essentially, what happened was we had Drumcondra FC as a club.
Yeah.
They played in Tolka Park. They were in the League of Ireland, one of the most successful clubs in the League of Ireland. Then they broke up because of financial issues, as many clubs did in Ireland. And then both teams were founded separately, and both claim, both have the same badge, both play the same in the same colours, both claim to be the original Drumcondra FC. So we had the actual, like, it was like classical. It was
brilliant. Yeah. So there's no like MK Dons Wimbledon thing here.
No, it's they're both
Wimbledon.
They're both Drumcondra FC and Drumcondra AFC. So,
and then the Fianna started up and took the Drums colours.
Ah.
Right around the corner from them. Yeah. And are now bigger than everybody.
Yeah.
We did have another statement from another football club yesterday.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you spotted this. The Enzo Maresca was appointed.
So that was the longest saga, right? We all knew Maresca was getting the gig about a month ago.
Mm. Yeah, I know, that was a long time, yeah.
Before you were a father for the second time.
Yeah, probably, yeah, that's true.
So Chelsea naturally released a statement, as you do when a former manager is appointed to another club. Pretty normal thing to do. Chelsea FC appreciates that the 2025-26 season was hugely disappointing for the club, capital letters club, and its supporters. A major contributing factor was the disruption caused as a result of changes at the club, and it forced to make the decision, the head coach position over the Christmas period. Due to recent developments, we consider that it is important to explain to our supporters what happened and why our former head coach left the club on the 1st of January 2026. So they go on to say that the club was informed by their former head coach. Enzo Maresca is not named in this statement once, by the way, which is fantastic. Pep Guardiola gets mentioned. The head coach was he said that there might be an opportunity for him to succeed Pep Guardiola at the end of the season. It became clear to us that it was his strong desire to succeed Guardiola and that he was fully committed to pursuing that opportunity despite the fact that he was under a long-term contract which he had no right to terminate. They go on to continue to call him the head coach. Discuss the fact that his heart and head were not focused on this club but on another club and another opportunity. No club wants to change the head coach midway through the season. However, in light of this decision and not to continue fulfilling his responsibilities through to the end of the season, the club was left with no choice but to protect our players, supporters and the badge, capital letters, the badge, and accept his resignation. And a beautiful little je ne sais quoi at the end of this statement. Looking forward to next season. In Xavi Alonso, we have a manager who has an exceptional football mind and is a professional of the highest integrity. He has all the attributes to deliver the success to the club supporters and what they deserve and expect.
Deliciously petty, right? Mm. But also factually correct. So one of the things that has happened here is that one of the reasons it took so long, Chelsea have sought and secured payment from Manchester City for compensation for a manager who was not their manager anymore. So obviously Man City accepted the charge that Chelsea were making against them. And they've also in their statement said that Maresca has paid them, which is very unusual. And the papers are saying it's 3 million quid.
It's a lot of money.
Now, I'm guessing Manchester City say, okay, we'll pay that for you, because otherwise it's a whole chunk of change for somebody. He walked away from the job and now he has to pay to buy his freedom. Just, that's kind of how contracts work. But then for them to issue that statement afterwards, that would suggest they've got a very strong case.
Yeah.
I'm taking your money and I'm also calling you a prick in front of everybody.
Yeah, and you're not going to do anything about it.
Fuck you, pay me, as they say in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
It's a Abramovich era level of pettiness and saltiness from Chelsea.
They're right, though, right?
Look, come to appreciate this level of pettiness from football clubs because you don't often get it. Sometimes there's too much moving on and leave him at it. He can go on to manage the rivals. No.
It's coming a bit more calm. I just seen the Atletico Madrid stuff with all the transfers, and they're like getting mad under social media.
Atletico Madrid lads on social media.
Let's not do that, Chad. Let's leave that one where it is.
Well, it seems rampant. They're a club with a... Maybe they just need a little policy there, lads.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't categorize the like
first one was bad. It was worse than
I think so. Yeah. But the only thing about it is, I would say, is that Chelsea are, I know they have at the end, we now have a manager who is, you know, going to do this and about. They're so delighted to have Xabi Alonso, and it's going to be different for them now. I don't know how good of a manager Enzo Maresca really is to be warranting all this kind of.
Guardiola rated him very highly.
Yeah.
For a long time. And he did a good job at Leicester.
Yeah, and look,
we never saw how it would have gone if he'd stayed.
Yeah, look, listen, I could be way off and he could be brilliant, but it seems as though like Chelsea are kind of, they're putting out this statement, they've gotten what they wanted out of it, they've gotten their compensation, and you still definitely feel a bit aggrieved by it though, to the point where you would assume if they could still have Enzo Maresca in charge, they would.
Also, they don't mention the guy they had in between. Who was an employee that they knew absolutely everything about, who was already part of the wider family. Neymar Senior does not get a, you know, what did you have? What happened in the meantime there, lads? Mm. Nobody liked losing their manager in the middle of the season. Nobody likes appointing a chump in the middle of the season. That always backfires.
Yeah, I see he's gotten linked with the Paris job, Neymar Senior, Paris FC.
Oh, yeah.
Noisy neighbours.
Why not?
Would be a lovely gig.
Why not? I do feel the need to address some of the comments on YouTube here. Somebody has questioned my integrity. Did I not say that Morocco were also shite? No, I didn't. I said
no,
Morocco
were
in my
in
the top tier. They were up there with Spain and France, so they were
God tier level,
part of the best tier, as it's called. Brazil were pushed close by Japan though last night, and Ben Symes was right in the middle of it with the Brazil fans.
He was in Rio de Janeiro.
Happened during the equaliser.
Pure mayhem. I didn't really know what would happen going into it. I thought it would be a bit mad, but I probably wasn't expecting to happen. Oh, Brazil have equalised. There is beer flying absolutely everywhere. All over me, all over my laptop, all over my lovely headphones. Brazil, it feels like they're taking the lead. Look, there's still another minute. I'm saying Brazil are on the attack right now, but I don't know. I think we might see a bit of extra time. People have been calling for Neymar for these last.
Oh, he scored! Oh my God! It's Gabriel Martinelli.
He's gone.
Oh,
he's gone.
Oh my God!
2-1 Brazil in the 96th minute.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! Oh, look at the Camden. People are arm in arm, jumping around the place. It's like Box Park Croydon. Never England score a late winner.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Oh, and I've never experienced anything like this in my life. People are crying. People are crying in front of me. Oh, my God. Found sudden Japanese people with their heads in hands. Oh, this is unbelievable. How do you feel? Bravo, Brazil! You can hear what it means. It's just, oh my word. The poor staff are going to have a night and a half here now after this. But oh my word. They never make it easy, do they?
That's the full-time reaction.
So where is this?
This is in the Camden, where a lot of the Brazilian internationals would come and watch games. I know the Woolshed's another big place for expats from Brazil come over, and you get to watch like the Copa Libertadores and stuff like that. There's a fantastic community of them here. But Ben Symes, I think he forgot he wasn't from Brazil there for a minute.
Yeah.
We have equalised. We have scored.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was brilliant. I was in the part of Dublin that I'm currently living in, is in the middle of town, and I didn't want to give it away too much.
Capel Street.
Tell people that, because it's not
number 47.
But I was sitting in my room last night watching a game on the player. So obviously there's a natural bit of a delay in the feed and I had my window open, obviously, because it's quite warm in Dublin at the minute. And like, you know, when you're...
Because there's a loud cheer.
There's a loud cheer, yeah. You're on your phone, you kind of keep your phone away so you don't get the notification. But I was getting like real life notifications because I could just hear shouting. But it was actually a massive, an equally big shout for the one that was cleared off the line when they were 1-0 down.
Vinny Jr., or was that they were 1-1 at that stage?
Yeah, I don't even know whose header it was. Someone had a header anyway, and it kind of came back off the goalkeeper's face and came out 2 minutes later to equalise. So there was a big shout for that, but obviously it was the goal, and then another one, and then the Martinelli one at the very end. I couldn't believe Martinelli got... Martinelli always flatters to deceive, I think. I remember we were talking here one morning about himself and Trossard and the Champions League and Arsenal needing kind of better players to go and win something, and then he came on and I was like, Jesus... bring on Martinelli here to go and win you a game, but fair play to the lad. Great touch, great finish. There's a fine balance, I think, in the World Cup between the underdogs winning and that being great, and also just making sure that you still have the...
Oh, you want the quality to rise to the top.
Yeah, I
think
so.
Much better that they struggle through games like this and then stay alive. Mm.
And I think there's a lot to be said for it as well. I do think that, like, I know it's a cliche thing to say, but that might pay for them going forward in the tournament where they had to... come out at half time and say, right, we need to start playing football here. We need to start showing a bit. And their leaders did show a bit. I mean, Casemiro had one of the worst halves of football I've seen in the World Cup in, well, a long, 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 long time. All aspects of it. Looks like his legs were gone once again. His passing was all over the place. He was taking out his own teammates. Then he comes out and scores a header and plays pretty well. And I suppose the other thing with it as well, he's playing because the guy who's competing with him for that position is Fabinho, who is in a pretty similar boat.
Mm.
If not a boat that is further along. You know,
well, Japan pushed Croatia close last year, or at the last World Cup as well. They also beat Spain and Germany. So
remember the group stage. Yeah, there was the point where Spain and Germany were both nearly going out, and Costa Rica were going through, and then it lasted for about a minute.
They're the best. We made you sweat, team.
Yeah,
at these major tournaments are Japan. We did have several penalty shootouts over the course of the night in the last 32. And to be honest, Shane Keegan called it on Saturday's Off the Ball.
I would say it is virtually impossible to win this World Cup without winning the penalty shootout.
Hmm.
Impossible. There's no team going to win this World Cup without winning a penalty shootout. Not going
to
happen.
Just because you have to win at least five games in a row. Yeah.
There's no way you're winning all. You're not winning five games in 90 minutes. No way.
You practice them, don't you? Yeah, you practice them.
100%.
It's funny how it's still... after all of these years, it's still kind of seen as the best way to decide a game. Like, penalties are such a psychological horror for the person who misses the penalty. Like, whereas goal wasn't like that, and also it rewarded an attack and ethos in extra time.
But you said, Jerry, work on penalties 100%. But I would be putting forward an argument that the work on penalties happens both on and off the field. I think the psychological element of penalties is massive, but I think it can be helped. I think it absolutely can be helped.
Germany had a 100% World Cup shootout record, played 4-1-4, which has obviously been blown. I think they had missed one spot kick in the World Cup up to last night.
Mm. Well, isn't the Lineker thing 11 men play for 90 minutes and then the Germans win on penalties? Is that correct? Is that what he said? Something like that.
Probably 120, did he?
120 minutes, I don't know.
Yeah. Paraguay were 41st. It's a footballing nightmare that Germany faces, according to Bill this morning.
Were you so awake for the Netherlands-Morocco shootout?
I was gone by then.
So I woke up exactly as they were about to kick off, which was extraordinary timing.
I missed the first two penalties then.
It almost felt like I woke up with my phone in my hand and the penalties already started.
Fever dream.
But there were some good penalties and then some terrible penalties in that as well. I don't know why it's beggar's belief why some people take penalties over others over the course of like a World Cup tournament, like in the Germany one where Jonathan Tah has taken their last penalty. I just don't understand it.
See, the Tah penalty was perfect until it wasn't. Keeper goes the wrong way, sends keeper the wrong way, hits it, it's a... All missed penalties are bad penalties.
No, yeah, you're right. Like, there's
he sends them the wrong
there's
way.
There's worse types of misses.
And just, I think this whole side of the goal is empty. All he has to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I because the winning penalty in the which game was it? Yeah, same game, but the Paraguay game. He battered it into the top of the net. Mm. He did the same thing.
That was also a centre half, so like yeah, my argument exactly. falls apart on that.
I think the worst type of penalty is Kai Havertz's. Where you just put it like handy height for the goalkeeper and not even in the corner. Gareth Southgate, Euro 96, that type of a penalty. People go mad over missed Panenka's. I don't mind them at all. I don't mind them at all. You're trying to catch the keeper out. Yeah. You look like a clown. It's brave.
Contrary to the popular belief, I actually don't think that missing a stutter penalty is that bad either. Yeah. Loads of people hate them.
Yeah, they're like, don't people think it's were that going bad. Mad at Ebreyeze in the Champions League final. Like, it's all right. That's his technique. Didn't work for him. It's okay.
Oh, it's the Havertz type that
did
I
did you notice Bono for Monaco? Or Monaco for Morocco. Mm-hmm. He was moving. He would just like stand on one side of the goal for some of these penalties. And it worked exactly as he wanted it to work for a couple of them.
Yeah.
My favorite penalty throughout the night was the one where Bono just slaps it down.
Somerville.
Yeah, from Somerville. He goes the right way, but he doesn't dive. He just stands straight. And it's like a basketball defensive, just smacking it out of there. Strong arm.
I love this about the World Cup, Paraguay being an example. Where were Paraguay in your chart, Enda?
Get your chart out there.
Where were Paraguay on my chart? They were shite, yeah. They were on the bottom.
They were bottom of the barrel.
But poor teams could go through and knock out football.
Well, look. So the three Paraguay games in the group stages, may I remind you?
Go for it.
Started off with...
They got battered by America.
That's right. Yeah. 4-1. I thought these lads are useless. So bad it was like, are America good? Are this crowd terrible? Yeah. There's no chance they're going through. Next game, beat Turkey 1-0.
Oh, yeah.
Turkey. And the final game, drew.
Sent Turkey home.
0-0 with Australia.
Yeah.
I don't know, they knocked Germany out. That's the beauty of it. Mm. That's unbelievable. They're in the last 16 now.
Yeah. And let me tell you, if you watch that Paraguay Australia game, you genuinely did lose.
I'm sure.
Partially
sure.
Your life.
This is the thing, though. It's Paraguay going to a game against Australia, and they both have like a similar kind of mentality with it, of like, you know, if we're going to be playing against a big team, we're going to be sitting back in a low block, trying not to concede and trying to, you know, null and void what they can do. Whereas...
Stars make fights. Yeah,
yeah, I think so. It's the same thing with Ecuador. You know, Ecuador were struggling. They were drawn 0-0 with whoever they were playing in the group stage. And then they go out and play Germany. And it's like, okay, we can get something here. We can frustrate the living daylights out. You know, it's like when Croatia went to play England and it was like, okay, we're going to try and beat you at your own game here. We're going to take you on. And it backfired. And then Ghana went out and we're like, nah, listen, we know what we're about here. We know how we're going to get a result. And they went and they did that. Even Panama, to an extent, frustrated the life out of England for an hour and took a set piece to get them through. Like, so, and we talk a lot about Gaelic football at the minute when there's no like line of form because everyone's beating everyone and anyone's beating anyone. But I think you have to take every game in its own merit. You know, styles do make fights.
Yeah, for sure. So Paraguay's reward for beating Germany is France or Sweden, who are playing tonight. We'll talk with Philippe a little bit later on what he thinks is going to happen there. Sweden were awful against the Netherlands.
Yeah.
You have to assume that's a line of form.
Yeah.
And France should batter them.
I think so. And I think that, again, you wouldn't know what way Sweden will approach, but Graham Potter is not known for setting teams up in a low block like Paraguay did last night. And you would think that Sweden would have somewhat of a go, which inevitably would backfire.
Now, they have good forward players, so they could actually set up a
bit of damage. And I think that would be a smart thing to do.
Punt the ball forward to the two lads and see, all right, nothing to do with us anymore. And then the winners of Paraguay, France or Sweden will play the winners of Canada, Morocco, who you suspect will be Morocco.
Yep.
That Canada-Morocco game, Canada don't even have home advantage, it's in Houston. And then that'll be a quarter-final. So it should be a Morocco-France quarter-final, which would be epic.
Would be. Repeat of the semi-final just... 3.5 years ago.
We're also very likely to get a Portugal-Spain.
No, France won it 2-0. Yeah.
If we get, we could potentially get a Portugal-Spain quarterfinal.
Yeah, so Portugal are playing Croatia. That's Friday midnight our time. Thursday at 8 o'clock. What day of the week is it today?
Today is Tuesday.
So Thursday it's Spain-Austria and the winners of those two play. I don't know, Croatia seem like they're going to be able to give Portugal a game of it.
Yeah, you'd imagine they'd give it a lash. I was saying this earlier, though. I think Portugal are more favoured to play against these European teams just with the nature of the way they go about it and knocking the ball around and not being the most physically capable team. I actually stayed up the other night and watched the Portugal-Colombia game, and Colombia played them off the park, but with and without the ball, ran them into the ground, bullied them. And the fact the game finished 0-0 was, you know...
Luke?
I wouldn't say it was a fluke, but it was
for something like 30 shots, Colombia.
Yeah, if anyone was going to score, it was going to be Colombia. They had a goal. I think probably the finest of finest margins as far as offside goes, with Davinson Sanchez's header at the end. What actually happened was it was the 88th minute, I think, and he scored the header and went off celebrating, and they were like, "Oh, it might be offside." And I saw one replay, and I was kind of thinking, "He's onside here," and I turned it off, and I went to bed, and I woke up next morning, and I realised it was nil-nil.
His big toe.
Oh, like if even, like, yeah, whatever.
If he wore smaller boots.
Yeah, it was ludicrous stuff.
Do you think that's bollocks? That actually they would need to know the size of everybody's boots to say that's exactly where his foot was.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's just one of them where do you draw the line?
I'm not saying it's literally. Fixed. There's no conspiracy. No, it's just, I know. It seems like that. Yeah. Like the graphic seems like it's an unusually shaped foot. Yeah, it's got like goofy feet.
And how can you decipher exactly when the ball has left the foot of the person playing the ball in as well?
Yeah.
It is that thing as well, though. Yeah. That's the exact thing that people who hate VAR throw out as like, what's next? We're going to be deciding offside whether somebody's toenail is offside.
Yeah.
Literally in that case. That people say the Arsene Wenger solution to VAR will actually just make if you're level with the defender, but a goal like that would be allowed.
It would be the same, yeah, exactly. There would be the same debate as to whether he's onside or offside, but the result would be more goals.
Yeah, and I think any part of you being level with should be enough. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Colombia were very impressive though. They're some good players. It always baffles me how James Rodriguez just turns it on when he puts that jersey on.
He's 34.
He was so good. Like just pulling the strings. I think he only has about an hour in him, but they have enough there to kind of.
Do you know who he plays for?
He plays for, is it Minnesota?
That's
or
right.
Cincinnati?
Minnesota United.
Is it? They said it on commentary. It's the only reason I knew that.
Brazil, after their victory, will play the winners of Ivory Coast, Norway, which is taking place today at 6 o'clock. Today's Tuesday. Yeah,
that'll be a good game.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect. Mm. Obviously, Norway with their full team looked good, and they will be rested. Ivory Coast will be good.
Argentina potentially have the easiest run in to a semi-final, at least here. They'll play, if they get through their fixture with Cape Verde, that is, they will play the winner of Egypt, Australia. And then after that, they will play the winner of Switzerland, Algeria.
Colombia, Ghana.
Following, let's say Colombia, Ghana. So let's say Colombia beat Switzerland in the last 16. Argentina will likely meet them in the quarterfinal, and then they will feed into potentially a Brazil, Mexico, Norway, or England, or Ecuador semifinal. So maybe Argentina, Brazil in the semifinal. Maybe Argentina, England in the semifinal.
I wouldn't write that Colombia game off. Colombia's a tough quarterfinal.
Or like Colombia.
That's as tough a quarterfinal as you're going to get, and they won't have been road tested by that point either. If they do even get there, not properly road tested anyway, considering the group and the knockout games that they will have had.
It's coming to the boil nicely. The 19th of July is when the final is. It's like very far away still.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Same day as the All Ireland hurling final.
Yeah.
Same day as the Sunday of the Open.
The Ringman Rangers lads knew what they were doing. No, it's a big day of sports watching. Who do you all want to see go the furthest? Say, like, pick four teams to round it off the nice semi-finals. So just to start this off, I kind of do want to see how far England go.
Yeah, but
I don't want to see them get knocked out yet. You're on about, like, it's a pity getting Germany and Netherlands out. I don't mind them, because I said in yesterday's show, I was like, I don't really fancy them to win it. I don't mind them going at this stage, but I don't want Argentina or Spain
or France
or England to go anytime soon.
Brazil weren't very good yesterday. I think that maybe a game like that helps them to your points, and I'd like to see them play a bit more and maybe pick some of their better players and try and get them in the.
I think it's a shame.
Go far.
Yeah, it's a shame that Morocco will have to get through France to get to a semi-final, because you would like to see their opportunity to get to the final, if possible. I mean, if they beat France, they will be favourites to go on to probably win the tournament.
They were semi-final last time out, weren't they?
Yeah,
but you'd like to see them. Yeah, they weren't. They were probably ahead of schedule at that point, though.
There were three sides were flawless in the group. We've mentioned two of them there: Argentina, France, and the other team to win all three games. I didn't notice that. I looked at it. Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And they play Ecuador.
I mean, from a purely neutral perspective, England, Argentina in the semi-final is what you want to see, isn't it?
Unreal, yeah. Like, there's a lot of people out there.
No.
They want England to lose all the time. They want them to get hammered. I kind of get that. I understand that sentiment. to an extent. But I want to keep it going for that reason. I love a bit of England get dumped out of a tournament and there's a big analysis about it.
I like to
on
see
BBC
them,
or ITV.
I like to, I love what happens to see them finally get that glimmer of hope, because they don't have any hope at all for most of the tournament. And then as soon as they get to that quarterfinal, they're like, yeah, we're going to go all the way here. And then the machine starts going again. And then they get beat by the likes of Croatia.
I'd love to see
them. And
it would
be equally as sweet if they got beat by Argentina, considering the history between the two countries.
I don't know. They've gotten very close a lot lately. I wouldn't mind them going out in penalties to DR or Congo. That would be fine. I have no problem with that at all. But at the same time, as far as semi-finals go, I'd like to see maybe France, Portugal and Argentina.
What do the Red Tops go for if they get knocked up by Congo? Is it like Call a Doctor? Is it Dr. Evil?
Yeah, something
Tuchel
like
on the back? Is it
Dr. Evil, pretty good. A picture of Tuchel.
Yeah.
Portugal's a good shout, yeah.
I think, weirdly enough, the fact they haven't won the group has slightly benefited them in that. I know they have to play Spain in round 16, isn't it?
Is it
Spain? Okay. If they beat Croatia, it'll be Spain. Once they beat Austria, which I don't think either is guaranteed, but I do think Portugal match up better against European teams, as I said. So I think that'll be a cracking last 16 game.
So
Portugal,
is there only one dark horse to win the World Cup? Is it just Morocco? And then you have a load
of all the rest of them are gone.
Oh, I think Colombia have. I think.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Colombia, Morocco, dark horses.
Yeah, I think they're your dark horses. Yeah.
Or are England a dark horse or
a
favourite?
No, they're favourites.
There can't be a dark horse with a gold star on your shirt.
I think but it's been so long. I mean, Uruguay weren't contenders, you know? And they won the World Cup twice as much as England.
No, England aren't a dark horse.
Richest league in the world.
Yeah. Probably most well-paid manager the whole tournament, outside of maybe Saudi Arabia or something, I don't know. No, they're not a dark horse at all. They'd love to tell you they are, though.
Yeah, it might work for them. Yeah. I'm enjoying it. Are you enjoying it so far, the World Cup?
Yeah. I hate that it's on the middle of the night. Yeah, I realise that's just a fact of life, but
it gets better over the next few weeks.
I'm just so annoyed I didn't get to watch Morocco and the Netherlands last night properly.
Is the last 16 not all in like the wee hours?
Is it?
I don't know.
I thought there's a load of 8 o'clock.
I know there's the quarterfinals, I think, steady out reasonably enough, I think. But I don't know before that.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. I kind of remember it. I don't mind waking up to the highlights at this stage, but once it gets busy, once it gets serious, you will have FOMO then, in this part of the world.
Yeah.
Those that know that there's a website where you can watch 10-minute highlights without the spoilers, which is a lovely little bit of...
Oh, yeah?
You can get a taster of the game.
Oh, yeah?
Don't do it on your work laptop, though.
You've done this... That's why we got the email saying...
No. Don't actually have a work laptop, so just advice for everyone else.
Sorry, what's the... why are we not allowed to talk about it, is it?
I don't...
First rule of Fight Club is...
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't want it to crash, but also I don't want to read a http://www.12.com/. Yeah,
all right.
Whatever.
It's good though, you can find it.
It's great. Yeah, it's great. It's a great little resource for those who want to watch the game and actually get a feel for it. Because some of the highlights, this is a bizarre situation. Can't understand why broadcasters do it. Some of the highlights for the penalties don't have all the penalties.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Yeah.
How are you supposed to get any feel for how the penalty shootout went if you only show the ones that went in and ones that were missed?
It's the TikTok generation.
In terms of like the what each penalty meant is what I mean. Obviously, the only options are scored and missed, but like you can't skip from the third penalty to the fifth penalty and not tell me what happened in between.
You may as well just show the last one in that case, yeah.
The kickoff times are a bit wild. So on Friday, for example, there's a 12 a.m. Portugal versus Croatia. So that's 12 midnight. Switzerland versus Algeria, 4 a.m. middle of the night. Australia versus Egypt, 7 o'clock. Which would have been prime time for a good fixture.
7 o'clock.
Our time.
That's killer, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was the same as... Yeah. What was the game the other day? Canada, South Africa? That was at 7 or 8, wasn't it?
Come on, let's give
it
Have you got a game here in the group stages? Was anything live?
There was one last game.
Would have been an LA game, would there?
I caught the last 20 minutes of Algeria and Jordan here. Good morning.
We got a couple of the ones that were
the country
not great. The ones that look, this is purely because I'm getting up at the time I'm getting up at. The ones that annoy me the most are the 9:30 ones, and that it's just
too late.
That little bit too late for me to watch the whole thing.
Which is basically every European's football experience for Champions League games kicking off at 9:00.
This is true.
So then Argentina versus Cape Verde, 11 p.m. our time.
That's on Friday, though.
It's on Friday night.
So,
but then Colombia Ghana is 2:30 in the morning. half two. Like, what's the half past kickoffs? Yeah.
It was half last night. Was that the first half last night? Germany, Paraguay, half nine. Mm. I personally didn't mind the late ones at this stage of my life. It was okay. But I understand it from people missing it. Like the Netherlands Morocco game, that was a big shame now.
Yeah.
For the Europeans.
England, DR Congo kicked off at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. That's tomorrow.
That's quite good.
It's such a random kickoff time.
Yeah, it is. Where's that game?
Atlanta. Mm. Which means it's noon, is it? Or Atlanta 5 or 6 hours? Could be 11 a.m.
Could be hot there. It's that hot part of America.
It's in a, there's a dome.
So
it'll be right. Air conditioned. It's a very hot part of America, yeah. You can't step outside without an egg in the footpath.
That's what you were saying about the Portugal-Colombia game the other night. Apparently it was ridiculously warm. And they couldn't understand why. Well, they obviously could understand, but Ronaldo played the full 90.
Yeah.
Even though it was like, no, he was, I think he's the only player in the Portugal. He's played more minutes than anyone else in the whole tournament or something crazy like that. So, come on, surely you can accept in your own head that this isn't going to be beneficial for you, let alone the team, but... You know, I think he still has something in him. He hasn't scored in a knockout game, has he? Is that this whole,
yeah, a long whole time, isn't it? Germany have a mad set. They're gone now, but they haven't got a clean sheet since the 2014 World Cup final that they won.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, at the World Cup, obviously. Third, Atlanta, 5 hours behind.
Five.
That match is starting at midday.
Noon, yeah.
It's mad. So, who will deal better with that?
It's indoors.
Sorry, you said that, yeah. Indoors. Actually, that's grand, so. But still, you're not up long. At that point,
no,
in the day,
pre-match meal,
you know, you're not up, lad.
You set the alarm to get up early to have a meal at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m.
Yeah,
so.
It kind of reminds you of Sunday league football growing up. Like,
you'd set the alarm that early, would you?
Mad early. Oh, I wouldn't sleep. I'd be up all night. But so you'd have games kick off at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, no, I know.
We used to fulfill your potential. Like.
We used to track down to Longford.
It's gone under the radar, understandably. Wimbledon started yesterday. Djokovic had a great match against Wu, as Ric Flair would call him, from China. And the crowd were on his side, and Djokovic was not having that at all. Obviously got him going. He won anyway, eventually in four, but it was a very good match. Sinner won in five.
Are people joking about Djokovic to wind him up, or are they actually not on his side anymore?
I think with Djokovic that the crowd know you can get at him.
So it's part of the enjoyment, baiting him.
Yeah, because like... some of his other greats don't respond to such behaviour. Federer and Nadal wouldn't bat an eyelid to it. And they know you'll get a reaction of Djokovic. But it helps him win Grand Slams out of many. Yeah, he gets angry and he plays well. He needs to play. So there weren't any major shocks, but a load of British players went out yesterday. The most since 2005.
Yeah. All of them, they're all gone.
Cam Norrie being the biggest, probably the highest profiled surprise. And I think Jack Draper put out injured, I think.
Yeah.
Sinner was bleeding.
Yes. See that? Yeah. His conditioning is mad at the moment. Like, now he did say the French Open thing. I was away for that. I was able to watch that actually. But that was mad. He was two sets to love up. He lost that. But he just said it wasn't anything to do with his conditioning.
It's the heat.
He was fine. Yeah. So the year before was like one of the best finals you'll ever see in any sport, to be honest with you. Sinner Alcaraz, that French Open final.
Yeah.
So he said it wasn't the heat. And Djokovic was two sets to love up and lost. And Sabalenka had the final out of grasp and lost. So the French Open was wild. Up Wimbledon's the same. No Alcaraz is a killer for the tournament. And no Raducanu for the Brits is bad as well. But once it gets to the second, deep into the second week of Wimbledon, it'll hopefully catch. But it always gets caught in the World Cup here.
How far will Serena go?
Oh, that's a good question. 44 years old? Or 46? 44, I think. She's playing a player who's in terrible form. So that might work for her. But who knows? She hasn't played in years. But like, you're talking about one of the most extraordinary people that's ever played the game. She won the Australian Open, right, in 2017, pregnant.
That's wild. I didn't know that.
How would that make your competitors feel? With child, with trophy.
It's a good one.
You're playing against two people.
So it'll get going eventually. It'll get going. But I enjoyed it. I was flicking between the Germany game and the Djokovic match.
So she was able to do that, but you weren't able to work for the last 6 weeks.
That's not the same thing, but yeah.
Go on, what's different?
I know, I'm only messing.
Kind of.
Yeah, that's not the same thing at all. Yeah.
I am only messing.
Yeah.
Was he having a baby?
Yeah, Roy Keane.
Did we get a list of the most Cork things ever? What would be on your list? Winning.
Yeah.
Being great.
All the medals.
Yeah.
Oh, I was in Croker on Saturday for the football, and I overheard two Cork lads talking, and we're basically like theorising as to whether they would have rather win the game against Mayo on Saturday or get to the All-Ireland final in the hurling this weekend.
Say that to me again.
So they basically were saying, would you rather beat Mayo and get to the All-Ireland football semi-final? This is before they would have known they were playing Louth, obviously.
Yeah.
Or beat Galway the following weekend and get to the All-Ireland hurling final. If you had to take one, what would you take?
You'd take hurling, for sure. Like, for sure. They're looking for third final in a row and third time lucky. But the footballers is weird. Like, so a topic I want to bring up, actually, in this breakfast buffet that's been happening since I had a baby myself and couldn't physically work. Since that started. The Cork footballer, it's a fascinating thing that, like, the whole country is just a bit like, oh, whatever. And it's the only real thing that people are whatever about Cork, because people either love it or hate it. Mm. But the footballers are like, oh, whatever. I'd say they're the least talked about All-Ireland champions in the 21st century.
The 2010 team?
Yeah, the 2010 team, people just talk about how come Dublin didn't win it.
Can I just counter that slightly? I would say that they always get called the worst All-Ireland champions, and they would frequently be referenced in those terms.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Which is actually a
comparison, but well, you're not going through the squad.
They're held up as a paradigm of, well, that team was terrible, but actually they weren't.
And look, I'd save this for the actual chat, but like, even just look at punditry and Cork footballers. There's no go-to national staple.
Mm.
They don't get anyone. So the Mayo-Cork game there on GA Plus on Saturday, Mayo representative, no Cork. I think that's it's kind of like Man City. It's like Man City struggled to get legends on to talk on the Premier League.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
Who do they have?
Micah Richards.
Mickey.
He's everywhere.
Mickey's gone beyond being Man City. It's just Micah Richards.
Julian Lescott. The legend.
Why that is, I don't know. I suppose it depends for two decades. It's just Cork have so many sports.
Nedham.
You could be in a certain part of Cork and you could play hurling, football, rugby, soccer.
Joe Hart.
Gail Clichy.
I haven't seen any. Joe Hart's BBC.
This doesn't happen. Like. Oh, God. Yeah. But anyway, they came to the conclusion that they would rather the hurling.
Yeah, that's it. It's that Cork people turn their back on the
team. Yeah, no, it is. I'm not just talking about the rest of the country.
Yeah, that's a Cork issue, really.
John Cleary would lament that, you know.
Yeah, he's right to. But like,
it's a bit annoying.
It's also the ball game, right? It's like if they were to win something, they would radicalise the fan base.
But they've had big wins this year and it's still kind of like, oh, that was kind of... So like when they beat Meath and Páirc Uaim, people are like, what was wrong with Meath? They beat Donegal up there and said, what, Jim? What happened there? We'll talk to Tommy about it. They're one of the ones that didn't make it.
Mm.
All right. Philippe is on the line waiting for us, so...
Nothing else going on.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Off the Ball. GAA.
Probably large aspects of our performance today that we'll have to tidy up on. Going into the semi-final, Kerry are obviously defending champions. They've found a run of form and vein of form themselves, and they're quite dominant.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.